The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board. Jumping on board with Let's Face the Issues, we invite you to join in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today, we have a very special guest we'll introduce in just a moment. We're talking about every vote counts. You've heard me say that before in other elections. We will have a school board election in the next few months here in Duval County, and we're looking forward to what God does in placing the right candidates in office. But let me say this to you, our listening audience today. God's Word admonishes us as parents. The Scripture is very, very clear. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And I always enjoy sharing the Hebrew transliteration of that text. Literally, the Hebrew text, Proverbs 22:6 says, we're to train up a child in the way. That means the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, not the way he wants to go. And when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. It's the parent's responsibility to see that little Susie and little Johnny are properly trained. And Deuteronomy 6:5, 6, and 7, tells us exactly what that proper training would be, to train that child to love the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his might, and with all of his soul. That's the responsibility of moms and dads. And we're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about how that fits in with public educational system, what the public educational system is doing, what it is not doing, and what needs to be done with the right candidates placed in office in Duval County in particular. So we invite your calls today as we think about the subject, every vote should count. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. When Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says to them, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is truth. There's no bifurcation of truth. We have those in society today that say that, well, everybody has his own version of truth. In fact, that is found in the millennials today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group. The recent survey says that 55% of the millennials say that each person has his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say it before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say it again. A half-truth is a whole lie. You can't take truth and bifurcate it and somehow think that you've got truth. It was the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, I always enjoy saying this. That novel, 1984, the title of it, was published in the late 1940s, 47, 48, and 49. But he wrote with insight as to what our government and our nation would be like. He said in 1984. Well, I think much of what he said was correct. I've not read the book, I read blurbs and versions out of it, but he was correct, except for the date. He said 1984, and it happens to be at the present time, ladies and gentlemen. But George Orwell said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, if it is in a circle with the theological, doctrinal, biblical conversation, a political conversation, economic, social conversation, you'll find those that will deny, reject, and get angry if you tell the truth. We're living in a society today where there seems to be the mindset that truth needs to be bent based on the audience or the conversation that you're having with the other side. That's not so. I'd rather stand alone and stand on the truth than to bend with every whim and wish of those that you're speaking to. This is the reason in pulpit teaching and preaching, it doesn't make any difference if you are whatever stripe you may be, whether you're a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party member, or you're a conservative Christian serving the Lord and placing your vote based on that. I take the same stand, the same position, and it's simply speaking the truth in love, preaching the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, that'll help you find the location. 165-foot flagpole. Atop of that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. Wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. They're closed on Sunday, allowing you to be free with your family to worship and to serve the Lord. Just drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate plan of God for the family is for moms and dads to train the children in the home. But multitudes today cannot do that. Multitudes today have a single parent, or even with dual parents, they have work that prevents them from being at home and training sons and daughters as God's Word presents it to us as His ideal for the family. So, ladies and gentlemen, public education, taxpayer education, ought to be an alternative. Now, I have several other alternatives, but I'm pointing to that because that's what we're talking about today. The public educational system. One of the major problems the public educational system, not just in Duval County, but across our nation, happens to be the thumb on the scales with the control by the teachers' unions. Let's just do a little historical throwback, if you will. During the height of COVID, it was the teachers' unions that closed the schools. The teachers' unions writing the rules and the regulations for Sir Anthony Fauci to make the decision that the schools ought to be closed. It was the teachers' unions. And right now, we're in a position nationwide that we have students today that are 1 and 2 years behind academically that may never properly catch up with the academic process that they should be at as a result of the school. I'm thankful for our governor in the state of Florida that said our schools are not going to be closed. We're not going to be forced to wear masks. I'm thankful for his position on many of those issues that makes a vast difference. But ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, in our public schools, public educational system, we have the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's being pressed into every classroom. We have the critical race theory that's being pushed in every classroom. And I'm thankful that we have laws on the books in the state of Florida that says that is illegal. But we're finding many school superintendents, many school board presidents, many school board members that are simply disavowing and disallowing that to be the fact in their classrooms in some of the school systems across even the state of Florida. Today, rather than teaching our children math and science and English and U.S. history, they're being brainwashed with the critical race theory and the false narrative about American history. I believe it's time that changes. I believe it's time that we, the people, get back in control of our educational system in the state of Florida. So what's the answer? I believe that it's the parents. It's my opinion that we must seek out. Listen to me carefully. I believe it's our responsibility as citizens to seek out those conservative, Christian, patriotic candidates. Support them. Vote for them. Place them in office and hold them accountable for what's done in our classrooms with our sons and daughters. I believe that's the only answer. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have such a school board candidate that's with us today. Rebecca Nathanson. Rebecca is running for school board District 3. She is a conservative Christian candidate that I'm delighted to have with us today on Let's Face the Issues. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us. It's our delight that you're here today, and I'm looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together on this issue of the school board race and your intents and what you plan to do. Before we take our first caller, let me ask you, Rebecca, to take a few minutes, introduce yourself to our listeners, tell our listeners something about you, your background, and primarily, why are you running? It's an arduous task. For the most part, you never get thanked. For the most part, it's always the detractors, the criticizing that a conservative Christian school board member or politician will face. So tell us from your perspective what you're doing, why you're doing it, something about your background.
Sure. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for having me. First, just a little biographical information. I'm a Jacksonville native. I attended Duval County Public Schools in District 3 from kindergarten through 12th grade. And my husband, Josh, and I have one son. He's almost 14. And for the last 3 years, I've become alarmed at the state of our schools and some of the decisions that I've watched our leaders make. So as a result, over the last few years, I became a parental rights advocate and a school board watchdog. And I have a professional background in curriculum development, human resources policy, and labor relations. I feel like I have a broad swath of experience that has allowed me, as I observe the goings-on of the school board, to better understand and see the decisions they're facing and the ways that they could be engaging with the public, engaging with the issues. It's just prepared me to be a board member because I think their role is to champion the community's concerns, such as greater transparency and school choice, fiscal responsibility, and parental rights. As an engaged citizen for the last few years, I've learned what it takes to apply pressure and see results, and I think I can continue that even more so on the school board. I've watched the majority of the school board meetings, and I'm really proud that over the last few years, I've organized a group of liberty-minded parents to pressure the school board and the district to change practices that were leaving parents in the dark. And I'm ready to represent the constituents of District 3 on the board, where I'll have a bigger opportunity to bring improvements to the area of parental rights and transparency and accountability to our schools.
I understand you've been part of the lobbyist group lobbying the governor and the state to introduce and to give more parental rights in the educational process. Tell us about that lobbyist effort and whether you feel that has been fundamentally productive or not?
Great question. It's been a wild journey the last few years, because when I first started paying close attention to the Duval County School Board, I was not interested in politics. I had never been to Tallahassee. I thought we could speak to our school board members, show them the school board policy, and expose what we were finding, and that things would be taken care of. But what happened, I became introduced to a group called Moms for Liberty, mm-hmm. and I worked, I was their first chapter chair here in Duval County. But as part of that, we went to Tallahassee and met with our elected officials to champion parental rights in education and to champion the things that parents were most concerned with. And it's funny you should ask about that, because it was never on my radar at that time that I would run for office. But while we were in the office of one of our state representatives, we, a group of moms, were telling him the things we were finding in our school system and saying, what else can we do? What can we do to make sure these policies are enforced? We have good laws, or you're passing good laws, but we can only get so far as voters. And that state representative looked at us and he said, it's up to parents to run and be on the board to make sure that these good laws and these good policies are written and then enforced, and that the district is held accountable.
The enforcement of those rules, regulations, and laws is the key to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you have seen.
Yes.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a parent. My name is Margaret, and I'm a parent of DCPS kids. And I have one child at Douglas Anderson School of the Arts, and another that's going to be attending in the fall. And I'm which is the same district that Becky's running for. So I'm really concerned about the way Douglas Anderson and the district have covered up for years the illegal behaviors of the former course director, Jeffrey Clayton, as well as inappropriate behaviors of at least three other teachers that were removed last year in the classroom. So my current school board member for the school, Cindy Pearson, has been largely silent on the issue, but I know that Bucky's been wonderful at holding the district accountable for their own policies and state statutes, and has really been a tremendous help to parents like me. So I have a question for Becky. How would you handle the DA situation and protect students from predatory employees if and when you're elected school board member? And thanks for running, too.
Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate the question. I think the board can do a lot to rebuild trust with parents and with the community in terms of how they ultimately handle this situation. Parents are aware that the district hired a third-party law firm to investigate what happened. Teacher that was obviously more than inappropriate with students, but the reality that there were numerous staff members and students that had reported this for over a decade. So what we're all watching to see is the school board going to inform the public what really happened? What's the result of this investigation, and who is going to be held accountable? We want to see that this will not happen again and that this is properly dealt with. So I firmly believe that it does not need to be swept under the rug, and that we're waiting and waiting to see what message comes out of the school board and out of the school district in terms of what they found and what corrective actions they have taken so that this will never happen again.
Do you have any other questions for Rebecca?
No. I mean, that sounds good. And I mean, I believe you'll do it, because you've just been great at, you know, like I said, at school board meetings, at just, you know, pointing out where the district has, you know, failed with, you know, following their own policies. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I do have another question. I mean, how can we better support you in your run for office?
Good question, Rebecca. Tell me.
Thank you. I would say go to my website, which is voteforbecky.com, and that's the word for, V-O-T-E-F-O-R, Becky.com. There's all kinds of ways. If you are a resident of District 3, please vote for me in August. But there's lots of other ways people can help. If they'd like to volunteer, if they'd like to make a donation of any amount, it will greatly help me get my vote out, get my message out to as many voters as possible. So I could use donations, volunteers, knocking on doors. If anybody would like to host an event for me, the best thing to do is go to voteforbecky.com and you can contact me that way. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much, Margaret, for your input.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rebecca, one of the things that I say when it comes to the problems in any of the schools, whether it be Douglas Anderson or others, how do you put it? The only way you can save the body is cut the cancer out. I think that it is false thinking to think that somehow, someway it's going to heal or cure itself unless there's an intervention. And right now, since that has become public, it's, I think there's an attempt to sweep it under the rug. And that goes back to your individual that you're running against, Cindy Pearson. Cindy Pearson, I understand that she has a reputation of trying to limit public comments. So what's your opinion and position about public comments?
You're absolutely right. She has, that's her record. I would let you know, let the public know, in June of 2021, she proposed to the board limiting allowing who would be allowed to make public comment at school board meetings. And mm-hmm. it took the board to tell her that would be a First Amendment violation. A year later, in July of 22, she spearheaded the revision of the school board policy to restrict the number of minutes people mm-hmm. would have to give public comment.
Right.
And then the following year, just last summer, she spearheaded another policy revision to restrict the number of words that people could write on a comment card at a school board meeting. So she does have a track record of indicating to us that she's not prioritizing the public's concerns. And I disagree. I take a different position. I think that one of the most important principles of our government is that the voters, that elected officials report to the voters.
Yes.
And that they need to hear our concerns.
It should be government of the people, for the people, by the people.
That's right.
And that means input from them. Rebecca, I'm looking at a headline. Governor DeSantis looking to flip two more Duval County school board seats in 2024. The governor released his list of 14 seats he's targeting in the 2024 election. And I'm looking at the article now, ladies and gentlemen. Governor DeSantis is looking to unseat Duval County school board members Kelly Coker and Cindy Pearson. That's a pretty powerful statement when you got the governor saying that the ones you're running against need to be replaced.
Yes.
That's good. What do you think of that?
Yes, sir. Well, I think it took a lot of us by surprise that a governor would take such an interest in local school board elections. Mm-hmm. But our great governor gets it, because if we don't have elected officials at the local level on the local school boards who will support and enforce laws on the books mm-hmm. and good policy, passing great laws in Tallahassee is not good enough. So I believe he gets it.
Yes.
I believe he gets it.
In fact, the statement the government made says, what we saw was board members who thumbed their noses at law and justice.
Yes.
And so I don't know how you could succinctly state that any better.
Absolutely.
And that's the exact reason.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we're talking about today is every vote counts. We need to be prepared for the school board election, the race in August. We need to be prepared to cast our ballot for that candidate that's going to be more closely aligned with what we think as parents, what we believe should be done from the standpoint of our constitutional liberties and responsibilities as citizens. And I believe we're discussing that with Rebecca today. Rebecca is a conservative Christian candidate, a patriot. Rebecca Nathanson, I'm trying to call it Nathanson, but it's Rebecca Nathanson, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in her race for this seat in District 3. Rebecca, would you explain to our listeners your campaign platform? If you have a platform, what's the platform? What are the prongs of that platform, and some of the whys, whens, and wheres in that platform?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
I have three priorities on my platform, which I believe are the three greatest challenges that the school district is facing. I'll name them quickly, and then I can go into a little bit more detail.
Yes.
Improving student achievement. We've got a literacy crisis in Duval mm-hmm. County.
Absolutely.
We've got to get back to the basics and make sure that our graduates and really students at every grade level are gaining the literacy skills they need along the way. So literacy and student achievement. Secondly, school safety and school discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Those go hand in hand. And thirdly, restoring trust through accountability. So with regards to the student achievement piece, I believe we can do better and we need to just go full steam ahead with training teachers on proven strategies for teaching reading. Because right now, really, we have a problem at every grade level from K through 12, but our third grade reading proficiency scores are currently less than half. Mm-hmm. Fewer than half of third graders are reading at grade level. I also think there needs to be a spotlight shined on providing resources and reinforcements for our middle school teachers right now, because the middle school students were those that were in elementary during the COVID pandemic, and they got set back.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mentioned, year to 2 years set back.
You mentioned it mm-hmm. earlier,
yeah.
And it's going to be detrimental if we can't help those students gain in their academic achievements quickly and rapidly before they're out of high school. And then also with regards to student achievement, I'd like to see us maximize faith-based partnerships and community volunteers to expand tutoring programs. The state has passed a wonderful funding mechanism, a program called the New World Scholarship, to help parents pay for tutoring if their child attends a public school and they're behind mm-hmm. in reading or math. Mm-hmm. And I think that the school board could be instrumental in building more partnerships and somehow opening wide the doors to tutoring opportunities to help. I think it needs to be an all hands on deck right
Absolutely.
Now. With regards to school safety and discipline, we've got to hold the district personnel accountable. We have a good student code of conduct, and we have a good school board policy. But what good is it if we're not holding
not
our students
it.
To it mm-hmm. and our personnel to it? So teachers are frustrated sometimes because they feel like their hands are tied when it comes to dealing with disruptions in the classroom, and that gets in the way of learning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we need to implement some recommendations provided by a grand jury investigation that dug deep into the safety and security issues facing Duval County Public Schools. We need to take that seriously and look at what recommendations they made. I would like to see victims of crimes in our schools get prioritized, and that offenders in our schools would have access to diversion programs available through the sheriff's office, for example. So that's tied to school safety and discipline. And I'd also like to see the district take seriously and strongly consider implementing the recommendations from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Safety Commission. We've got to hold our district accountable to the safety and security violations that exist, because we know what works. We've just got to do it. And then, can I mention restoring trust?
Mm-hmm.
So restoring trust is kind of a broad umbrella, but I think at number one, it starts with fiscal accountability. We need to cut the wasteful spending at the district level. So
I would amen that.
Yes, so that we can, we've got plenty of money. It needs to be spent properly.
What are we doing, Rebecca? Are you familiar with the dollar amount per student across the board for the students of Duval County? I'm told it's approaching $14,000 per student. Is that correct?
That sounds about right, yes.
That's a pretty heavy cost for the end result of what we're finding.
Yes.
So the accountability factor, I believe, is vital and needed today in our school system. For example, we're looking at a math and science and English and U.S. history that's not being pursued. That's not the goal, seemingly, in our public school systems today. It seems to be there's a mindset to indoctrinate rather than educate our children. And I believe it's time that we see a school board change that will be a tectonic difference in what we're doing today in the system. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist.